Last Lord's Day, we began a very important study concerning Luke chapter 15. As we noted, verses 4 through 7, the lost sheep, lost because of his own carelessness. Verses 8 through 10, the lost coin, lost because of the carelessness of someone else. Influence, yes, but we are still responsible, we noted that, for our sins. And then we began a study of the younger son, verses 11 through 24, lost because of the sin of commission, that is, he wanted to go. And we noted the six steps in falling away. In verse 12, you see self-will, give me. And then selfishness, still in verse 12, he wanted the portion of goods that falleth to me. And then separation. Verse 13, the first part of the verse, you see, he went into a far country, separated himself from his father. Now, the fourth step that we noted was sensuality. The latter part of verse 13, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And then fifth, we noted the step of starvation, verse 14. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, in that land, and he began to be in want. And then finally, the sixth step in falling away, self-abasement. Verses 15 and 16, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. In other words, he hit rock bottom. And now, this morning, we're going to pick back up with our study and notice the seven steps in restoration. And we'll continue that study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And we're going to remember that with the initials PFE as we go about our daily lives, striving to do just that. Yes, sir, preparing for eternity. And what more important thing could we be doing? Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street here in Martinsville as we, of course, study God's precious Word in our Bible classes. And then as we come together to worship God in the assembly, we're striving to do so in spirit and in truth, having a proper attitude, but following the New Testament pattern that God has given us. And I can assure you, you will receive a very warm welcome. Now, today is the last day of our gospel meeting. So if you haven't made it Friday night or Saturday night, please come today and hear Brother Randall Jones preach the gospel on the subject of hope. And we look forward to hearing three lessons today, one at 9:30, then one at 10:30, a potluck lunch after lunch that you will thoroughly enjoy and good fellowship, and then closing out the meeting at 1 p.m. So we look forward to having you with us and hearing Brother Randall Jones shuck the corn and put it out where the calves can get it. So we hope you'll be here, as he is a former preacher here at Morgan Street. And his good wife, Sister Linda, we hope will, of course, accompany him for this gospel meeting. Now, let me mention this. We're always looking forward to having Bible studies. If you're interested in sitting down together, please let us know, and we'll set that up at your convenience. We also have Bible correspondence courses available. And if you have questions, Bible questions, please send those to us. Your comments are always welcome, positive or negative. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, let's get into our study this morning, as we're going to note the seven steps in restoration as we continue in Luke chapter 15 with the parable of the prodigal son. Now, let's go to verse 17 of Luke 15. And when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger." Realization. Yes, he reasoned and recognized his condition. So, we must realize our sinful condition by being logical as we reflect and examine ourselves. Of course we need to do that. And then, after realization, that's the first step, what state am I in? And if I'm in a sinful state, I need to do something about it. So that's being logical, isn't it? Now, the next step would be resolution. That just falls right in line, doesn't it? Now notice verse 18. "I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee." Well, that's exactly what he had done, is it not? He went into a far country and just wasted his substance with riotous living. So, yes, he needed a resolution and a determination, you see, that he's going to resolve his situation. So, we must resolve to repent if we have fallen away from the Lord's church. Yes, of course, and if we haven't obeyed the gospel, we need to realize that we're in sin and do something about it. Resolve that we're going to do something about our sinful situation. Now notice the third step in restoration. This would be verse 19. "And am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." Well, here you have just outright godly sorrow, and that's what we must have, because that worketh repentance, you see, in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10. Now, we're not talking about worldly sorrow. Sometimes people are sorry they got caught. You know, when you look at Judas, who went out and hung himself, he had sorrow, but he didn't have godly sorrow, and he could have gone to Jesus and received forgiveness, of course, and gone to his Heavenly Father in prayer and asked for forgiveness of betraying Jesus Christ. You see, that must be done, repentance. Yes, we must turn around and do the will of God and get out of a life of sin. No longer a selfish attitude, but you see how he humbled himself. No more self-will, as we talked about last week, but what? But the Father's will. That's the way to go. Having a sorrowful heart, realizing we've sinned against God, and then do the will of God. Not my will, but God's will be done. You see how this is involved in restoration. And it's the same if someone has fallen away from the Lord's church. They need to repent and, of course, pray for forgiveness. If public sin, then it needs to be made known, coming forward and making the statement that one has sinned against God and now wants to repent and pray for forgiveness. And, of course, others can pray for the person as well that's coming back. Notice now the fourth step, as we find in verse 20, the first part, after having realized that he could be made as a hired servant, having that godly sorrow, now we see he arose. So here's the return. He arose and came to his father. So those who leave God the Father, that is, having left the Church of Christ, God the Father's Son's church, well, then what must be done? They must return. Having repented, then they're able to return, to be restored, to bring about the situation of a sheep that is now back in the fold, so to speak. A child of God is now back in the church. And certainly that's where we all need to stay and never leave. But sad to say, how many brethren have become unfaithful, and how many remain unfaithful even until their death, and thus they're lost. They're waiting in the place of torment for the Lord's return. And they're not going to be able to hear the words, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant, now enter into the joys of thy reward." No, they're going to hear, "Depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity," and thus cast into the lake of fire. You see the seriousness of what's involved here? All of us should see it. Yes, we should. What about those that never have obeyed the gospel? What are they waiting for? Well, if you're waiting for an invitation, the Lord certainly gives it. As you go to Matthew 11, you'll see the invitation of the Lord, verses 28 through 30. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That's the invitation of the Lord. Now, let's respond if one has not done so. What is more important than being saved from my sins and being added to the Lord's body, the true church? But let's go on in our study here and notice now the fifth step in restoration. As we go to the latter part of verse 20, reconciliation. "But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." Moved with compassion, ran to greet him, the father did. So the father was expecting the son to return. If we have fallen away, God the Father is waiting for us to return. That's right. Why would we keep God waiting? That's not a good position to be in, to keep God waiting, is it? Well, of course not. And here the prodigal son, yes, while he's yet a great way off, he's seeing his father coming to him. Not in a slow walk, no sir, but running. Yes, and when he got there, what did he do? He fell on his neck and kissed him. Well, that should show us the love of God, should it not? Of course it should. And the son confessed to his father. Look at verse 21. "And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son." The father was forgiving. Yes. And we must confess our sins. Here's the lesson for us. 1 John 1:9. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Now, here's the sixth step in restoration. as we go now to verse 22. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Well, you see, here is honor. Yes, great honor has been given to the prodigal son, now returning to his father. Yes, this is obviously a great honor. Reclothing, you see, is the sixth step. Yes, and that's what happens when one returns back to the fold of God in the church, having become unfaithful and now is restored. Yes, there's a reclothing. And what a great situation for all the brethren in the congregation rejoicing over the return of one lost soul. Just like the sheep, that one sheep out of 100. There's rejoicing in heaven when one is restored. We need to appreciate that. The angels in heaven rejoice, of course. Yes, and that's the seventh step, really, of restoration. Notice verses 23 and 24. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat, and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found, and they began to be merry. Rejoicing. So, we covered six steps in falling away, because there was no rejoicing. But seven steps in restoration, because there was rejoicing. And we need to learn from this, of course, apply it to ourselves if we're in a situation of being unfaithful, and if we have never obeyed the gospel again. Do you see the love of God and how He was waiting for us to come home? That is, coming out of our sins into the Lord's church by the watery grave of baptism, contacting the precious blood of Christ, having repented, of course, making the good confession unto salvation, as we know in Romans 10, 9 and 10. That's what we need to do. And we hear the Word of God, that's what tells us what we must do, and how Jesus died for our sins. And we believe that. That leads, of course, to repentance, if we have godly sorrow. And then, of course, again, the confession and baptism in that order. And then live faithfully, even unto death. But I want us now to study the elder brother's reaction. Let's go now to verse 25, because this is important to see in our study of Luke 15. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry. That's his reaction, you see. He is angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. You see what his reaction is? Even jealousy. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. Now notice the father's reaction. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. What a great study Luke chapter 15 is. But here we have the elder brother's reaction. No, he did not waste his substance in riotous living. Not at all. This is obvious. But the point is, he had a sin of disposition, unforgiving. So here's a lesson concerning those who take responsibility but feel little or no need for God's grace. Serving God not out of love, but greed. Instead of being glad to see his brother, he was angry. We noticed that, did we not? He was jealous. We noticed that. He showed resentment, a self-righteous attitude. Look at Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. For by grace are you saved through faith. Notice that, through faith. That is, obedience to the gospel, and God's grace allows us to be saved. And that's not of yourselves. No, it's the gift of God. We don't deserve it. Not of works. What kind of works? Trying to earn one's salvation. Lest any man should boast about what he's done, you see. That's meritorious works. But then we go to verse 10 and we see another type of works. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus unto what? Good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That's the kind of works we need to have. Works of righteousness, submitting to the will of God. Those are good works, included works, not the meritorious works. And look at 2 Corinthians 9:7. Every man according as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. If we're just giving because we have to, that doesn't please God. That's like this elder brother. You see the same attitude. Self-righteous. Yes. He's not serving God out of love, but greed. And we don't want to be like that. When we give, as we've been prospered, with a cheerful heart, wanting to give because we know God is glorified. And the church is edified, and the gospel is spread, and the benevolent work can be done. That's all the work of the church, and God is glorified as we do the work of the church, is he not? So notice, the elder brother called his brother this thy son. Did you catch that when we read that verse 30? But as soon as this thy son, not his brother, he didn't say this my brother, no, this thy son was come, yes, and now you've decked him out and having all these festivities going on, and yet look at what he had done. Yes, he had sinned, grievous sin, but he got out of the sin. He's now back home. That's something you rejoice over. And the elder son should have ran to meet him as well. Glad to see his brother back in the family. You see how this relates to how God sees us today? As his children, if we're in the Lord's church, and when we leave, yes, it's sad and tragic situation, and brethren are hurt as well, but when they come back, when they're restored, how we rejoice in that, and certainly God the Father and the angels of heaven and our Lord and Savior and the Holy Spirit, there is rejoicing in heaven. And so the Father exhorts and urges his oldest son to practice the right attitude and action towards his brother who has gone astray. But he's returned. And that's really the main objective here of our study, is restoration today, is it not? Well, let's read that again. And he said unto him, that is the father, Son, Thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. He's no longer lost in his sins, but he's found. Do we understand the significance of God's love and the elder brother's sin of disposition? He needed to repent himself. Yes. And so may we all learn the great lessons from Luke chapter 15. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yes, that's true. Romans 3:23. Yet God the Father is merciful to take us back, allow us to return and to obey, only because of the blood of Christ. Yes, which was shed for the remission of sins, as Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper there in Matthew 26:28. This is my blood, present tense, because it was that sure that it was going to be shed, and he could say it in that present tense. So let us learn from these lessons that are here in Luke 15. Those who have become lost again and wandered into the land of sin, we want you to return and to be restored. God is waiting. We're waiting as well. And we'll assist you. Yes. If you've left the church, then go, of course, your congregation that you were worshiping with, working with, that's where you need to go back. And that's what I mean by we'll help you. Certainly the brethren that you have left will help you. But if you've never obeyed the gospel, we stand ready to assist you in doing so. As I mentioned earlier, we have to have faith, and it comes from hearing the word of God, Romans 10:17. Now we must believe that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. Yes, we must believe that, and the evidence is certainly there. John 8:24. Now we're ready to repent, getting out of a sinful situation, changing our way of thinking, not my will, but God's will be done. Now we're going to go in a new direction. Yes, and we must have godly sorrow, which leads to repentance. And as we've studied this morning, we've seen those steps. Now, after repentance, what do? We make the good confession, stating, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, as the Ethiopian eunuch did when he said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? He needed to make the good confession. He did. And he and Philip both went down into the water, and he was baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of his sins. And the Lord added him to his body, Acts 2:47, and he went on his way rejoicing. And so we stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel. And we thank you so much for listening today.